Preaching is sometimes interaction where you have to participate. And this morning is going to be a little bit of both. So I'm asking that you would walk with me as I try to put some things together for you. That card you have, if you have a pencil, at the top of that card, write the 10 most wanted. 10 most wanted. Can you write that on that card for me? Just at the top of the card, write the 10 most wanted. Now, what do I want you to do? Okay. If we go over into Luke, the fifth chapter, and go to verse 4, Luke 5, 4. And this is an account of Jesus when he called his first disciples. And in verse number 4, he says to them very succinctly, and when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. In all of our situations in life, we have friends, we have family, we have coworkers, we have people that live on our street that we know that aren't saved. And we would desire for them to come to knowledge of the Lord. What I want you to do is take that card. I want you to write down the name of 10 people. It could be their first name only, or it could be their first name and their last name that you know that aren't saved or was in the church and have left the church, and you would like to see them living for the Lord. Give me the write down 10 people. I'm gonna give you a moment. It could be your father, it could be your mother, it could be a cousin, it could be a brother, a sister. You know, somebody on your job, somebody in your community that you know are not serving the Lord. And you would like to see them saved. You would like to see them living for the Lord. While you're doing that, I would ask you the question, what would you give for them to be saved? What would you personally give for them to be saved? What would you do for them to be saved? While you're doing that, I'm just going to remind you that every week we have prayer for the church at 11 in the morning and at 9 at night. And we invite you to join us in prayer, you know, so that you can pray for the church and for the growth of the church as we are working to bring about this real change that God is calling us to. If you're not finished, just raise your hand and put it down. Okay. If you don't have 10 people, if it's only one, you can only think of one, then just put that one person down. Now what I ask you to do is to pass your card over to the aisle, and I'm going to ask the same brother that gave out the cards to come over and pick them up. Now what, I guess you're wondering now, what's going to happen with these cards? Okay. What will happen with these cards is these cards will be prayed on and for every day until you come into the church and say that person that you had on the card has accepted the Lord. Okay? So, that, you know, it's all kept secret. Nobody will know whose name you put on the card. Nobody will know anything about it until you come in the church and say you got to praise for the Lord, because this person has accepted the Lord and is now attempting to live for him. Secondly, for the next 2 months, every Tuesday and every Thursday, I will be at the Broad Street location starting at 1 in the afternoon. So I will be there from 1 until at the end of one anothering every Tuesday, and every Thursday I will be there from 12 until about 7 o'clock. What I would ask you to do is two things. One, I would like to come to know everyone in this room better. So I invite you to stop by. I will have beverages there. If you come on the right time, I will even have pizza there. And you can come by and we can talk and get to know each other. And it will be no pressure on you. You're just coming by to have a slice of pizza and to have conversation, okay? If you have a concern that you want prayer for, I invite you to come by and we can pray about it. If you have an issue in your life that you want a little help with, I am a counselor, therapist, so I can help you in that area, okay? Also, some of you, I will be, more so the adults, I will be getting a list from Joel, and I will be making some house calls during the month of July and August, you know, stopping by your house. Now, if I come past your house, I don't eat fish and I don't eat beef, you know, so you can give me all the turkey you want. And I stay away from fried food, so let's broil the chicken for me. Okay. And I'm not choosy. I eat a hamburger, a turkey burger. You don't have to make it anything. Turkey burger and some potato chips is fine with me. I don't drink soda, so you have to give me iced tea. So I just want you to know, you know, you don't have to fix a lot of things. So I know some pastors, you got to put a whole spread in front of them. Nope, you don't have to do that with me. Just a turkey burger and some potato chips, and I'll be happy. But if you happen to have a slice of sweet potato pie, it would help, okay? It would really help if you got a slice of sweet potato pie. So I just want you to know that Tuesdays and Thursdays I will be at Broad Street. Other days during the week I will be making some house calls, especially to those that are sick and those that are shut in. I will be trying to see all of those during the two-month period, okay? So I look forward to some of you just calling. Oh, let me give you my number. I believe you have the church number, right? Just say yes if you got the church number, okay? I'm going to give you my cell phone number, okay? My cell phone number is 215-880-7870. Now, let me tell you how I use my cell phone. If I'm in a meeting, just leave your name and your number. I'll call you back sometime during the day. Now, if you really need to get me, leave your name and then say 911. If you leave your name and then say 911, then that means as soon as I'm free, I'm going to give you a call back. Now, if you don't do that, it's going to be maybe an hour for me to call you back, or it may be 24 hours for me to call you back, because I look at it that it's not really an emergency, but I'm going to reach out to you. Okay? Are we very good, clear on that? Okay. There are a couple of other things that are tied into what we are talking about that I need to just touch base with you. Let me add that in as I go along instead of stepping outside of it. Now, if you go back over in your Bible to Luke, the 5th chapter, reading here, Jesus is starting his ministry. Prior to, in verse chapter 4, you see an outline of him demonstrating his power and demonstrating the ministry that God has given him that he would take forward. And then we come to the 5th chapter. And in the 5th chapter, I really believe that this chapter is directed to Christians that are not living as God would have them to live. Now, what do I mean by that? Sometimes when we get saved, what we do is we become comfortable in our walk with the Lord. And we're really not doing what God has called us to do. When we look into the Bible and God outlines his great commission, he tells us that we have a responsibility to go to the outermost parts of the world witnessing for him. And one of the things that we find in our culture today is that we have become what I call secret Christians, where we're the only person in our community, we're the only person on our job that know we're Christian, because we have yet to stand up and answer our call and to do what God would have us to do. As we look into this verse, what we realize that Jesus has a group of people, a great group of people that have come to hear him talk about the word of God, the gospel. And what he did was realize that they were just pressing in on him to the point where he, you know, it's kind of like when you go to a concert. I've seen it more so when I watch television shots of Beyonce, where everybody's just pushing on her and pushing her back, and she has just very little room to even breathe, yes, more than anything else. And this is what Jesus was facing. He was facing this, all of these people just coming at him, because they had come to understand from chapters 4 that this man had power. He had power to heal. He had power to do those things that they had a need for. So what he did was he saw these two boats right at the shore of the Sea of Galilee. One of the boats belonged to Peter. I'm sorry, I just got out of hand there. The boat belonged to Peter, and what he did was he asked Simon, that was his name before he became saved, so that he asked Simon to allow him into his boat. Now, which that then becomes an issue, because Simon had just come back from fishing all night and had caught nothing. Now, I can remember we went down to Barnegat fishing at night. We were going fishing for bluefish. And when we got on the boat, it was about 20 of us. And we got on this boat, and the water was as calm as it could be. And when we went out about 25 miles. And we were out 25 miles, and that boat was just bouncing up in the water. You know, now, I want you to understand, everybody on the boat was a seasoned fisherman, somebody that's been fishing a long time. And that boat was just bouncing up and hitting and bottoming out, and they had these portholes on the side, and the water was coming on and so forth. And everybody on the boat got sick. And what we did was the floor of the boat was metal. So the only way we could stop spitting up was to lay on our stomachs on the floor of the boat. And the coolness of the boat floor kept us from regurgitating. It took us 2.5 hours to get back in to the dock. When we got back into the dock, we couldn't get on the bus to come back to Philadelphia because we were so sick. When we finally got back to Philadelphia, everybody that was anybody said, last time I'm going fishing. And I mean, the only person on that boat that did not get sick was my son. And he was about 6 years old then. Everybody else was sick. And so I can relate to Peter and his guys coming in saying, we were out all night fishing and caught nothing. Now, the issue that you have to deal with in this story is that Jesus asked Peter to use his boat. Now, Peter had to think this through because his boat was his livelihood. If Jesus got on the boat and the boat sank, if the boat got away from them, then there was a problem for Jesus because this was the only way that Peter could make money every night going fishing, because at that point in time, during that period of time, everybody went fishing at night. But Peter allowed Jesus to take the boat and to pull away from the dock and to teach. Now, one of the things I found out as I did study on this is that when you're in certain places on the Sea of Galilee, the surrounding land is like an amphitheater. In essence, you don't need a microphone, you don't need any type of equipment to help you to articulate well so people could hear you because of the surroundings. So Jesus is now teaching the gospel to those surrounding him. Now, the one thing that we need to understand that Jesus has stepped in through his Holy Spirit into our lives, and he has called us to do more than just be Christians and sit on a pew every Sunday. He has called us to spread his gospel throughout the world. So in this situation, after Jesus has finished teaching, he says to Peter, get in your boat and go out into the deep water. Now, what he was showing Peter in this process is that if you want to catch the big fish, you're 10 most wanted. If you want to catch the big fish, you got to go out in the water. Now, some of you that are not fishermen may not understand that process, that if you are in the boat and you're close to the water, you're not going to catch big fish. You're going to catch little fish. We used to go fishing up in the Poconos, and when we fished up in the Poconos, we fished from the shore, and we catch fish that were like 10 inches maximum in length. But when I go deep sea fishing, and I go deep sea fishing about 3 times a year in the summer, you know, I would catch, you know, fish that were 15, 16 pounders because we were out 25, 30 miles in the water. And what Jesus is saying is that he has given you the ability, and he wants you to use the ability to go out into the deep water to catch the big fish. And catching the big fish comes from your relationship with Jesus and for you walking as he would have you to walk. Now, what happens here is that they understood, Peter and his followers understood Jesus' command. So they get in a boat and they go out. And they go out looking for their 10 most wanted. And that's what God has called you to do, is to go out in the water, go out in the world, go out looking for those 10 most wanted that he has sent you out to get, that he wants your life, he wants your relationship, he wants your walk with him, he wants your testimony of your life, he wants what you do on a day-to-day basis in your work environment, what you do within your family life, to be such a testimony that those 10 most wanted that he's trying to bring, draw to him, you become a vehicle, you become a tool for them to draw those to him. Now, the bottom line is it comes down to how are you living? Sometimes we are Christians, but we're living just like someone in the world. And what God is saying that he wants our lives to be so set up, so walking with him, so pure, that our lives become an example of those he was trying to win us, win to him. So bottom line is what he's saying to you is that he wants you to become a fisher. He wants your life to be such a life that he can win people to the Lord because of your testimony. He wants your life to be such a life that people see you and they want to know what is the difference in your life than in their life. He wants your life to be such a life that even as a young person, even as someone that is 13, 14, 15 years old, that your life is so committed to him that even someone other than that is 13, 14, 15 years old that does not know the Lord looks at you and wants to know what is the difference in your life versus what's going on in their lives. One of the things that we hope to do is to develop and expand the youth ministry within the church, whereby a year from now, the youth ministry of this church has grown by 100%. That if we have 25 youth in the church now, by this time next year, there's 50 youth in the church. What we're looking at is that we want to have programs whereby we are discipling men and women, and winning, and because of their discipleship, they are living a life which brings other people to the church. We're not looking for membership. We're looking to have lives that so identify us with Christ that people want to come to this building based upon how we're living, not just because we're a church. And I want you to understand, in this world and culture that we're living today, there are so many people that have been hurt by the church that they don't want to walk into a church building. They have had situations in their lives that have kept them from wanting to even have a relationship with Christ because of what has happened to them in the church. But what we are going to be doing is looking at building relationships with people, and through our relationships with them, that they will come to know Christ. Through our relationships with them, they will come to want to become part of Emmanuel Church and worship and serve within this body. So what God is saying to us is that he wants us to become fishers of men. And so he's saying to us, come follow me. Do what I would have you to do. Live as I would have you to live so that you become a blessing to me. You become a blessing to the community. You become a blessing to those that are in your basic church. Now, one of the things that we need to understand that God wants us to be very clear on is that we are to be disciples. We are to be disciples of Christ. We are to be learning what he would have us to learn so that our lives exemplify and our lives are a mirror image of him. That process is that we have to spend time in God's word. We have to spend time learning what he would have us to learn. What I'm looking at is that starting in September, what we're going to do is we're going to go through a study so that you will come to understand through the preaching, and this is going to be interactive. This is not just going to be me speaking, but you will come to understand how Christ would have you to think and the actions that Christ requires of you in order that you may walk and have a life that is pleasing to him. Now, in this whole process, God still brings you back to the point of Acts 1:1-8, where he says that you have been given power because the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and because of the Holy Spirit coming upon you, you now have the power to witness in this community here and in the city of Philadelphia. So what we're going to be looking at is the process of you now being able to take your relationship with Christ and be able to walk out of this building and to be able to share your faith with those in this community, those in your school, those in your workplace, those in your community, so that we become a church spearheading the point of people coming to know and having a relationship with God. So what I'm looking at is that as we look into this chapter 5 and we go down past the stepping into the deep water or casting out into the deep water, we come to understand that part of this is from us coming to know the Word of God. So as we go through this process of fishing, we're going to become more equipped in understanding the Word of God, how it affects our lives, and how it affects the lives of those that we witness to. First of all, we need to understand that God is saying to us in this fishing process that we must love Him with all of our heart, our mind, and our soul. So we need to come to understand, what does God mean when He says He wants you in totality? That He wants you to be loving Him with your heart. He wants you to be loving Him with your mind and with your soul. So in this whole process of becoming a disciple, we're going to be learning how we are to walk with Christ, that we are a mentee of Christ, that we are a student of Jesus Christ, and we are learning His word. We're walking in His word so that we become more exemplified as He is. So we need to understand that God is calling us to what we call, and what the Bible calls, radical living. In essence, that we no longer live like the world, but we live a radical life, which is a different life based upon God's word. Now, when we deal with this point of a radical life, we're talking about a life that is a life of faith, that we are living a life that is totally based on our faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what He has done for us above the cross. Also, that we are trusting Him for everything. You know, in this world that we live in, we find that the only person that we really can trust is ourselves. But God is saying to us that He's looking for us to be able to trust Him with our totalness, with our total life, and that He will do everything that He has promised that He would do for us, as long as we are obedient to Him, as long as we submit to Him, and that we are also a forgiving people, that we are forgiving those that are in our lives that we need to be forgiven, and that we are loving, and that we are living a life that is full of the fruit of the Spirit. So God is calling us to be fishers of men, but He's also calling us to be an example of Him in the lives of those people that we're trying to reach. So as we're looking to reach those 10 most wanted on your list, God is saying that I'm looking for your life to come into line in alignment with my life, so that you, as you go forth witnessing to these 10 most wanted, as we are praying for those 10 most wanted, as we're praying for the community, as we're praying for those people on your job, that your life is an example of how I want you to live. So when we look down, as we go farther down into Luke the fifth chapter, and it says that He called them and He said that they would become fishers of men in verse number 10. God is calling us not to just become comfortable in our existence in Him, but that we are outreaching those for the Lord. So you will be, through this whole process as we go along, you will be trained in how to witness in high school. You'll be trained in how to witness in junior high school. You'll be trained in how to witness as adults, so that you can be part of the process of winning individuals to the Lord, so that we will become a blessing to this community. We'll become a blessing to the Lord as we seek to reach those that are outside of the fold. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for our time in Your word. We just ask, Lord, that You would just continue to give direction as we move forward, Lord, being fishers of men and winning those within this community and with outside of this community to You. Lord, we ask that You would just work in our lives, Lord, that we will become examples of Your loving kindness, of Your mercy, and of Your grace, Lord. We ask also at the same time, Lord, that You would continue Your transforming process in our lives, Lord, that we would no longer be conformed to this world, but that we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So, Lord, as we look into Your word, we pray, Lord, that You would just work in our minds, Lord, to change the way we think, to change the way we act, Lord, so that we become men and women that are controlled by Your Spirit and are living the life that You would have us to live, Lord, that You may be glorified, You may be honored, You may be blessed in what we do. Lord, we just look forward to these next coming days, next coming weeks, as we move out into this community, winning souls for You, changing this community, changing the environment of our church by those coming in, seeking to know you in a better way, Lord. We ask you would be in each one of our worship services, Lord, so that you and you alone would be worshiped, you would be praised, and you would be glorified. We just ask this in your Son's name and for his sake. Amen.